Good day, Bethel. A very warm welcome to everyone who is listening in today. Have you seen any of these videos before? We have Jeff Gordon and the police chase prank. We have Kyrie Irving, the NBA basketball star, pretending to be the old baller, Uncle Drew. And we have Sean Garnier, a soccer freestyle champion, posing as an old man as he plays a pickup game of soccer. Each of these is an example of an athlete that poses as an older person or a regular person that you wouldn't expect to be good at anything. But once you see them play, such as this basketball player or this soccer player, or as Jeff Gordon test drives a Camaro with that car salesman who's scared out of his life, you recognize greatness. Their actions give away that they're something different. And then when you realize who they actually are, it's an even bigger wow. Wow, look at what they just did. Now, it's kind of fun to watch these videos. Have you ever been in the presence of greatness like that, but didn't realize it at first? Jesus, though, he is the greatest. Nothing or no one can compare to the greatness of who he is. He is God who became a human. And in the verses in Luke chapter 9 that we'll look at today, we'll see the glory of Jesus on display. The glory of the chosen one. Jesus Christ, the King of all. He is the boss of everything. But when he lived on the earth, Jesus purposely set aside his glory. It was usually hidden from people. But they wondered about his identity. Who was this man? He seemed to be a regular guy, but he also did so many amazing miracles, and he rose again from the dead. And as we'll see today, we get to take a look behind the curtain as we get a glimpse of the glory of Jesus. The glory of Jesus was seen. It can be heard, and we can share this glory. But our problem is that we are easily distracted from glory. Sometimes it's difficult for us to be fascinated and excited by glory. We trade his glory for cheap imitations. We follow after other things that we think are great or overly important, and these could be both good or bad things. Or we can get distracted, we're busy, we're tired, we're lonely, we're overwhelmed. We get bogged down in the day-to-day realities of life. And so this morning, I want to invite you to get a glimpse of glory, the glory of Jesus, and to be refreshed by him. So if you do have your Bible, please open to the book of Luke chapter 9. We're going to be reading verses 28 to 36 together. And in the book of Luke, we have these beautifully written accounts all about Jesus and his mission in this world. And as we read these few verses together, imagine yourself being there. Who are the characters? What did they see? Let's read Luke chapter 9. Starting at verse 28. It says, "Now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, 'Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah.' not knowing what he said. And as he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. What an amazing account. What a glimpse of the glory of Jesus. Can you think of other times in the Bible, in Jesus' lifetime, where we see a glimpse of glory? At the birth of Jesus, the shepherds, they get a front row seat. This is in Luke chapter 2. It says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." And then also at the baptism of Jesus, Luke chapter 3, it says, "The heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove, and a voice came from heaven." There's also glory at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Angels appear to the woman at Jesus' grave. There is glory when Jesus returns back into heaven. He goes up into the cloud, his ascension. And then we are told that Jesus will come back in glory. Now let's be clear on what we're talking about when we're using the word glory. Glory can mean honor or a good reputation. We certainly give God glory and honor, for he is most worthy of that. But another meaning of glory that we'll focus on here is that bright light that surrounds God's presence. You know, we can't see God, but his glory shines in all of its splendor, majesty, and brightness. One preacher said this, "As light is to bulb, as heat is to fire, so glory is to God." We can't see God. He is spirit. But God's glory makes the invisible visible. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And Hebrews 1 describes Jesus in this way. He is the radiance of the glory of God. Now, back in our verses in Luke 9, verse 28 says, "After these sayings," that this takes place. And what sayings is Luke referring to? Earlier in Luke 9, people were wondering who Jesus was. What was his identity? And Herod, he heard about all that was happening and he was confused. Some were saying that John the Baptist had come back from the dead. Others said that Elijah or one of the other prophets had appeared. Herod said, "John I beheaded, but who is this that I hear these things about?" Then further, Jesus asked his disciples this question, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter gives that meaningful response, "The Christ of God." Jesus is the chosen one, the Messiah, the one that they were waiting to save them. But then Jesus goes on to tell his disciples, his friends, he said that he would suffer many things and be rejected by the religious leaders and be killed, but on the third day rise again. And this was hard for them to understand. And so in our verses today also, we get the testimony of God the Father. Who is Jesus? And God says, "This is my son, my chosen one, my beloved." So we are learning who Jesus is. This is becoming clearer as we move through the book of Luke. And in this account, we get an intense picture and we get to see the glory of Jesus. Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John, his inner circle of friends, up on a mountain to pray. And we don't know which particular mountain they went up. There are a few options, but we just don't know. Look at verse 29. And as Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. So this account in Jesus' life is often called the Transfiguration. And we find this scene recorded for us also in the books of Matthew and Mark. And in those accounts, it reads that Jesus was transfigured. It uses that word, transfigured. Now, we don't typically use that word, but the root word we are more familiar with, it is the word metamorpho, from which we get the word metamorphosis. That is a transformation. And the idea is just like a caterpillar that transforms into a butterfly. There is a dramatic change. And so Luke, he doesn't use that word transfigured, but he uses the words altered or changed. And so what has changed? Well, it tells us that the appearance of his face was changed. In the book of Matthew, it says that his face shone like the sun. And then it also says that his clothing changed. They became dazzling white. In the book of Mark, it says that his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. Wouldn't you like to get some of that laundry detergent to brighten up your whites? Can you picture this? As Jesus prays, suddenly there is glory. His face is shining like the sun, brilliant, radiant. This is no ordinary man. Do you have anything that glows in the dark? Star stickers on your ceiling, or a toy, or a shirt that has something that glows in the dark? Our little boys have a few shirts with this on it. And so at times we'll take that shirt and stick it right next to a light bulb and let it charge. Then we'll go into a dark room and we'll be amazed at the glow. But that glow came from another light source, and eventually it grows dull. But this is not how Jesus was. His light, his glory was not from another source. It was from him. He was changed, and the blinding light shone with power and glory. Now, next, we see that Jesus had two visitors with him there on the mountain, and these were Moses and Elijah. So who are these two? Moses, the great lawgiver of Israel, he lived 1,400 years before Jesus. He was born into slavery, adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. He was educated in Egypt, but then he runs away from Egypt after killing a slave master. But then he meets with God at the burning bush. He goes back to Egypt to rescue God's people, saying, "For God, let my people go." Then he leads the Israelites into the desert, and he receives those Ten Commandments. But then after wandering in the desert for 40 years, Moses dies within sight of the Promised Land. Moses had wanted to see the glory of God. In Exodus 33, we hear this, Moses saying to God, "Please show me your glory." And God said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord." But he said, God said, "You cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live." This is Moses. Now Elijah, he is the great prophet who lived during the reign of the evil king Ahab. And he lived 900 years before Jesus. Prophets, they were to speak for God. This is what God says, or "Thus saith the Lord." Now Elijah, in those days, he called the people to worship God rather than the false gods such as Baal. And fire came down from heaven in that contest on the mountain to prove that God was the one true God. Elijah, at one point, was fearing for his life, and he comes into the presence of God. And in 1 Kings 19, God says to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, it says, the Lord passed by. But the Lord wasn't in the great wind or the earthquake or the blazing fire. It says that the Lord was in the low whisper. And then Elijah quickly wrapped his face in his cloak. So here in Luke 9, Moses and Elijah, representatives of the law and the prophets, they come face to face with the glory of Jesus that they so long to see. And then it says that they were talking about Jesus' departure. And that word departure is the same word as the word Exodus. They were talking with Jesus about what he was soon going to do in Jerusalem and then his exit from the earth. Jesus' time was coming to an end. And just soon later in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, it says that when the days drew near for him to be taken up, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus' death, resurrection, and return to heaven would be a new exodus. This is just what Jesus had been telling his disciples, that he would suffer, that he would die on the cross and be rejected as he did that, but that he would rise again. And yes, there would be suffering, but then there would be glory. And this is our hope in life and in death. Jesus did go to Jerusalem, and because of his death on the cross, we can be forgiven of our sin. When we put our trust in Jesus, we can experience life and we can be forgiven and free. Jesus accomplished this for us. Jesus finished the work that he came to do. So are you going through some difficulty right now? Are you experiencing hurt and loss? Jesus can relate. He knows what it is like. He endured pain and suffering, and he will walk with you as you go through difficulty and hardship. We'll continue in verse 32. Here only in the Gospel of Luke, we read that Peter, James, and John were sleepy. But when they wake up, they see glory. The glory of Jesus. And they also see Moses and Elijah with him. And Peter, the spokesperson, often he is overwhelmed at this glorious vision. And he suggests that three shelters be made, one each for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. But this moment would not last long. This glimpse of glory was not to continue right now. But then suddenly a cloud overshadowed them. The presence of God in the cloud engulfed them, and they hear his voice speak. This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. God the Father claims Jesus as his son and instructs that his son be listened to. And not only do we see the glory of Jesus, but we can and must hear the glory of Jesus. God the Father gives the authority to Jesus. We must listen to him. This is God's Son. Jesus didn't get rid of the law and the prophets. Matthew 5 tells us that Jesus rather came to fulfill them. Jesus completes and makes sense of what the law came to do. But we could never obey the law on our own. But Jesus came and he rescues us from what we could never do on our own. So we're not looking to Moses or Elijah to save us. We are looking to Jesus, and we must listen to him. Verse 36, it says, and when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. Jesus is the chosen one. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one experiences real, eternal life except through Jesus. Jesus alone. Now, in the book of Matthew, we read that when the three disciples heard this voice, they fell on their faces and were terrified. I think I would be as well, wouldn't you? But Jesus then came and touched them. It says that he touched them and calmed their fears. What kindness, what gentleness. He reassured them with a touch and his words. And where do we primarily hear the glory of Jesus? It is through his word, the Bible. And Jesus would say repeatedly in the Gospels, listen to my word, do what I say. The wise builder is the one who hears Jesus' words and does them, whereas the foolish builder hears Jesus but doesn't do what he says. The good soil, where the seed of the word is planted, this is the person who hears the word and keeps it and produces good fruit. And in John chapter 5, Jesus said to the religious leaders, he said, you search the scriptures, that is the Bible, diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that are all about me, yet you refuse to come to me for life. The Bible is all about Jesus, and it is through the words that we are pointed to him, the one that can give us life. So have you listened to Jesus? Have you come to him for life? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is life in the here and now, and life forever. And will you continue to listen to him? Would you commit to reading the Bible on a regular basis? This is the word of God. And it will give light to your path, protection from sin, faith when you have doubts, wisdom for life's way, and it will give you the hope of heaven. See the glory of Jesus, hear the glory of Jesus, and then share the glory of Jesus. We have this final verse, verse 36, and it says this, and they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. Peter, James, and John didn't tell anyone about this mountaintop experience right away. To keep the secret, I think, would be difficult. We read in Matthew and Mark that Jesus actually charges them, he commands them not to tell anyone until he is raised from the dead. I wonder if Peter and John and James sometimes talked about this just when they were on their own. Maybe they said, you remember that, James? When Jesus' face was shining like the sun, man, that was awesome. I can't wait to tell the others. But now we are past those days. Jesus has risen from the dead, and we have the joy and the duty to share this with others. I was talking to someone this week that was able to share with his extended family about who Jesus was and about life and faith that we read about in the Bible. And it was a joy for him to share that with his family members. And then it was energizing for me to hear that from him. So we can encourage and spur one another on as we share with others. You know, this difficult time that we're in, it's not an excuse to be quiet and to retreat. We can share while we wait for the coming of Jesus in all of his glory. We can share the glory of Jesus. Now, the Apostle Peter, he wrote about this in 2 Peter chapter 1. He wrote about this experience. He also references Jesus' baptism, but then also this mountaintop experience. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, Peter says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Jesus is coming again. Proof of this is that Peter was an eyewitness to the majestic glory. He saw Jesus. But we have the prophetic word of the Bible. We have the Bible now, and it is solid proof for us that Jesus will come again in glory. Though Jesus did come humbly into this world, he has now been given his proper elevated position at the right hand of God. And one day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And this is to the glory and honor of God the Father. And so nothing, no one can ever compare to the greatness of who Jesus is. The glory of Jesus comes from who he is in all of its splendor, its majesty, and brilliance. And we have these words spoken to us from God the Father. This is my beloved Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. Jesus is God, and the glory of Jesus cannot help but burst out. And so, do you know this Jesus? Or has your heart grown a bit cold or dull? Have you lost sight of who he is? You know, the world would want to squeeze out any vision of the glory of Jesus. And I pray, as we've looked at these verses together, as we've talked about them, that you would have a fresh vision of the glory of Jesus. And then you would share that with those around you. I'd like to close by reading this statement. It is the Ligonier statement on Christology, and really, it's all about Jesus. And may this description cause you to worship Jesus. It's entitled, "The Word Made Flesh." It says, "We confess the mystery and wonder of God made flesh and rejoice in our great salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. With the Father and the Holy Spirit, the Son created all things, sustains all things, and makes all things new. Truly God, he became truly man, two natures in one person. He was born of the Virgin Mary and lived among us. Crucified, dead, and buried, he rose on the third day, ascended to heaven, and will come again in glory and judgment. For us, he kept the law, atoned for sin, and satisfied God's wrath. He took our filthy rags and gave us his righteous robe. He is our prophet, priest, and king, building his church, interceding for us, and reigning over all things. Jesus Christ is Lord. We praise his holy name forever. Amen." Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, I confess that at times my heart grows dull and can be cold to the things of God, to seeing the glory of Jesus. Would you please ignite a fire in our hearts, Lord, that we would be a changed people because of the glory of Jesus. Father, thank you for your word that you've preserved for us. Please help us to be diligent to be in your word so that we can see the life-giving glory of Jesus in there. And Lord, would you please give us boldness, give us courage to share the glory of Jesus, even in this difficult time when it would seem that we're isolated, that we're away from people. Would you please give us opportunity even in this time? Thank you, Father, that you are building your church. We ask your blessing on our Bethel family. May we continue to proclaim the word of God, to be in prayer together, to worship you, and to share that with others. We thank you for what you're doing, and we, Father, pray, come, Lord Jesus, in all your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.